All right, here we go. Hello to you, 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. Having a pleasant Monday, even though the weather is not looking great. We will hear, this is rare, but because of how crazy it is, at the end of today's show, we'll hear from Mike Tomlin. Then tomorrow, at the end of that show, we'll most likely hear from Mike Tomlin as well. That's not for sure, but maybe, because we kind of always do that on Tuesdays. Not a sports show, but the Steelers are the biggest show in town, and they're the biggest story in town because of how it's all seemingly falling apart. Give a listen to CBS yesterday, and Jim Nance and Tony Romo, as it was winding down, there were still like There were still about 7 minutes left or so. And this was going on.
The record 231 was set twice, once by Jacksonville in this stadium in 2017 and by Cleveland in this building in 2016. 231. They right now actually are at 230. So they're 1 yard from tying it, 2 yards from breaking it, and 3 yards from a first down. Here is Ty Johnson, and the Bills now have the stadium record for a visitor. I'm sorry, Ray Davis. Dave, how about Davis today? He had 44 yards again on the season, rushing the football through the first 11 games. He's got 55 today on 7 toes.
Well, this...
I mean, everybody's running the football
for him. It's true. Dawson Knox is blocking his booty off, too, and this is tough on Terrell Austin right now. He does not like that. Look at that. You don't want that record, do you? Mm. Terrell Austin, who's a great coordinator for a long time, just not their day right now. Keep lining up in the 3-by-1. They're going to keep running it here and then eventually the play action, but it's going to bounce out here.
So Romo and Nance explaining to the masses how the Steelers are just getting their backside kicked by a Buffalo team that's running through them. Cam Hayward tried to explain after the game that butt kicking.
Practice pissed off. Watch film pissed off. Do everything pissed off. I'm not going to go gently in the night. We all got to get our ass together.
Okay. So that's where we are. That's from the player's standpoint. Let's look at it from the masses' standpoint. This is a city where kids are born and they put terrible towels in their incubators or their little bassinets, whatever the heck. Okay? This is a city where we're told everything stops for Steeler games. This is a place where it's a rite of passage. You know all those cliches, right? I'm a lifelong Pittsburgher. I'm supposed to stop all I'm doing on Sundays and watch the Steeler game. You know what it was yesterday? Elevator music, background noise, kind of on the TV. I wasn't anywhere near locked in. I'd check the score, do a couple things, check it some more, watch 4 or 5 plays, and I had no guilt. You know why? I have as little interest right now in the Steelers than I ever have. It's boring at this point because if they don't want to make big moves to get better, why should I invest deep time and energy? I mean that. They were once a passion. I would have tried like everything to go to the game yesterday and probably gone. Now it's just something to watch. Am I wrong in that? Have we seen a precipitous slide? And are we at apathy? Because I feel if we're not, we're pretty darn close to it. But I feel like a lot of people agree with me. Here's the other part. They're kind of unlikable. Even when they weren't winning in the past, it was a likable bunch you could rally behind. They're sort of unlikable. Have they turned into something to just kind of watch if your schedule fits for you? I want to talk to you at 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. I wrote down some words off the top of my head before the show started today. Stale, tired, typical, uninspired, unimaginative, monotonous, pedestrian, rote, humdrum, drab. I'm not being too harsh, I don't think. You know what you're going to get, and you get it. Boring. So if they aren't inspired, why should I be? For much of my life, and I'm sure I'm like a lot of you, my Sundays centered around what time kickoff was, where I needed to be. Early in the season, guys are playing golf. No, you can't play golf on Sunday. Well, if you do, you better be done by noon. First tee time out, you got to be in. Or if it's still light out, we can go after that 1 o'clock game and get in some holes. But no, you can't play golf during the Steeler game. No, you can't go Christmas shopping during the Steeler game. That was much of my life. Now, honestly, if I'm not doing anything, I'll turn it on. But it doesn't dictate my life anymore. Maybe part of that's me getting older, my kids being in activities. But it's also a perfect time, and has been for decades, it seems like, for families to gather, to circle that on your calendar, to see what time kickoff is, to watch it all together. I'm not turning my back on them, but they're just not important anymore, or as important. Have they turned into something just to watch if it fits your schedule? Now, I want them to win, believe me. But if it folds into my life, so be it. If it doesn't, I got to do something else. I wonder if I'm alone in this at 866-391-1020. It used to be chores. It used to be church. It used to be running out shopping. Everything was scheduled around that block of time. 1 o'clock game from 1 until 4:30 or so. Don't you dare think about doing anything else. Now again, if it fits, it fits. And you know what? I might even flip through the channels here and there when there's a commercial on. You didn't even think about touching the remote before. That's apathy. It just is. And I can't be the only person who feels like this. I don't want to feel like this. I don't want sports to be the center of my life. Too many people are wired that way, I think. Just my opinion. But I want to look forward to the games again. I want to feel that Sunday morning, Steelers are playing today. Let's go. That hasn't burned in me for quite some time. There is civic trust, and there'll always be. But there's no more excitement to watch them. And when that happens, something has to change. Or at least people at the top, if they were smart, they'd realize that a lot of people, I think, feel like this, and they'd change something. Let's talk next. 866-391-1020. Well, hello to you. 866-391-1020 is that number. 866-391-1020. I can't believe it's totally dark out. I mean, I can, because that's what happens this time of year. But it does throws a wrench into all your plans. This Steeler stuff it's at a low point. I mean, I remember the Mark Malone days, and back then I was a little kid. But it kind of feels like then. And here's the thing. What do you point to where you say, okay, the Steelers are going to be easily extracted from this rut? That's the part that gets me. Where's the hope? And that's why I don't want to say waste my time. That's the wrong way to put it. But I used to have this enormous passion. Sunday, game day, here we go. This buzz. That's a good way to put it. This buzz and this feeling. Anticipation of the game. Watching it. Excited about it. Now it's just another TV show. And that's sad. Maybe it was all along. And it was an artificial heighten. But at least it was that. Now it's just whatever's on TV. Mike's in Lebo. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Colin. Great show as always. I wholeheartedly agree with you, Colin. You know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and hoping for a different result. That's Mike Tomlin's legacy. He's been here for 19 years, makes $20 million a year. His first 4 years, Colin, were great. He inherited a Hall of Fame quarterback, two great assistant coaches in Dick LeBeau and Bruce Arians. These last 15 years have not been so great. Hasn't won a playoff game in 10 years. Everything has an expiration date, Colin. His expiration date was about five years ago.
Seems like it. I'm with you on that. And the part that's interesting to me is, it's sacrilege to say it, to some people. Now, getting booed in your home stadium and the fire Tomlin chants, they may change some things. I mean, really, they may change some things for the owner. They may change some things for Tomlin himself. And the other part is he can't fake like he didn't hear it because it was asked of him. And good on Chris Carter from the Post-Gazette. It was asked of him in the post game yesterday. So you can't act like, oh, I've got earmuffs on. I didn't hear anything. What are you talking about? No, they laid it to you in the post game and told you that that's what happened. So it is a low watermark right now, and I don't know what the hope is. But I'm not compelled to get excited. And I, in a way, I feel guilty for that. In a way, I feel liberated. And I can't decide which one is the stronger pull. Brody's in Swissville. Hi, Brody. How are you?
I'm just going to say this. Yes, everything, if you're thinking it, he's saying it. Colin Dunlap on Drive at 5. No, I'm seriously. Everything you said, I second that motion. My mom's a huge Steeler fan. She's from the Bronx, New York, too. And she just, like, it was a clown show. And I was screaming through the TV, fire Mike Tomlin. It's time for him to go. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, it's a tough state of affairs. It just is. And I'd like there to be some sort of hope, some kindling, something you look to and you go, that's a glaring positive. I think that's also what makes it so tough. There's nothing identifiable to where you go, oh, that's it. There is the light at the end of the tunnel. It's just simply not there. 866-391-1020. We'll hear from Mike Tomlin a little bit before we get out of here. We've got some other things to get into, though, in just a few moments. But first, demand the yellow van. Yep, ServiceMaster. You hear all about ServiceMaster on our station. You know why? Because they're a great company. They just are. I wouldn't be telling you about them if they weren't fantastic. How do I know they're fantastic? I've been there. Been to their place in Oakmont. Went out and see how they operate. See how they get to your place if something bad happens. It is a streamlined and wonderful operation. You know what's big now, though? Mold. Ugh. You don't want that. Musty smell in your basement, dark spots on your wall. Don't assume it's just old house smell. That's not even a thing. People make that up, old house smell. No. It could be mold. Mold never waits. It spreads. It damages. And I tell you this, it'll screw your house up, and it can mess your health up. Don't mess around with it. Demand the yellow van, ServiceMaster Greater Pittsburgh. Number's easy, 412-826-1010. 412-826-1010. Restore your home the right way. Do not settle for cover-ups. Demand the yellow van from ServiceMaster Greater Pittsburgh. Oh, that's exactly what I want to get into. That storm center's open for business. Woo! Where do I apply? No, I often think, and not just us, all kinds of people, I think fear cast a bit, overblow it some, but give a listen to this meteorologist.
A huge swath of winter weather advisories extends from Wichita and Topeka, Kansas, through Jefferson City over towards St. Louis, Missouri. Peoria is included. Paducah, Kentucky is included in this winter weather advisory. It then continues on up through Chicago. Chicago getting plenty more snow once again, 3 inches plus for much of the region.
And then it's coming here. That storm that's hitting Paducah is coming here. I've been to Paducah, by the way. But yes, it's coming here. And a little bit more.
Watching our winter storm ramp up now, and this is the first of the season for many parts of the country. It extends from the plains through the Mississippi Valley into the Midwest, then over towards the mid-Atlantic states, inland from the coast, and then continues right on up into New England.
Thanks, fella. Tomorrow morning, it's said to be bad. Or is it? 1 to 4 inches, depending on who you listen to. So let me ask you this, especially for people who have lived in other places and maybe migrated back to Pittsburgh, or people who just moved here, or people who could be listening on our dandy Odyssey app or the YouTube channel, which is fantastic. Check out the YouTube channel. It's great. KDK Radio on YouTube, and be sure to subscribe. So if you're listening on any of those, especially, if you've ever lived anywhere else or currently live anywhere else, do we overdo it? do we do it different than other places? I often wonder that because I haven't, other than going away to school for a couple years, 4 years, I haven't really lived permanently in other places. And I've grown accustomed to the way storms are forecast in Western Pennsylvania. They are forecast like this. Top of the news, a storm is a-coming. Immediately after, 25 minutes of bring your pets in, get the Giant Eagle, what you're going to do for the next 5 days, some schlep standing outside the salt pile, some other schlep standing outside the Parkway West, and then another thing as it feeds back into weather, because at that time, it's like 27 past the hour, and then bang, maybe talk about the Steelers for a couple minutes, then right back into it. And it was a fire or shooting somewhere, then right back into the weather. That's how I've grown accustomed to it being covered. And it feels like in the past, 10, 12 years especially, it borders on fear casting. And obviously it sells because those people are smart that do the television news. They know how it works. They know how to get eyes on them. And it is such a race now in modern journalism to make sure to try to get as many eyes on you or ears on you as possible. I mean, it's what it is. But I haven't lived in St. Louis or Chicago or New York City or Cleveland or Columbus or Cincinnati. I don't know if we're different or if it just feels different. I poke fun at it. There's no question about that. But it feels easy to poke fun at because so often we're left with a big forecast, a, oh my gosh, get bread, get milk, get toilet paper, get MREs for a month's time, and then a dusting happens. It just, maybe that's just the way that it is, and maybe it's like that everywhere, but it's an interesting thing. And I wonder if that's going to happen tomorrow. Me, perhaps I'm underprepared, and I'm not afraid to admit that. Maybe I'm somebody who doesn't take it serious enough, and I look at the weather, and I check out the weather kind of the morning when I wake up. I see what kind of jacket I need, and I'm out the door. And if I have to go ahead and shovel or throw some salt down, that's the way it's going to work. But I don't get caught up in stuff like,
I looked at it this morning. O'Hare was no longer the worst as it was yesterday, but at last check, it is now number one again. Now, on the roads, Illinois State Police responded to more than 400 crashes during the storm and another 300 calls for stranded drivers.
Four-wheel drive, I'll get there, I think. I don't get caught up in that. But I do know people who are otherwise rational, sane, with it, have clear thoughts, my wife, that gets all crazy and in a tizzy on nights like this. They will pace. They will bite their nails. They will have the remote control going overtime with the last button between 2, 4, 6, or excuse me, 2, 4, and 11, whatever the 802, 804, 812 now, or whatever it is, or 811, I don't know, one of those at my house. And so they'll have that going on, and they can't get enough of this, and they worry themselves sick. I've never understood that dynamic. Again, I might be in the wrong here, and that's not out of the question, that I might underprepare, I might undersell, and I might be somebody that gets surprised. And they'll end up rescuing me on the side of the road somewhere, buried in a ditch, and there you go. That's what you get for not taking it serious, you goofball. And I'm okay. I'm fine. I can live with that, I think, if I don't get killed. But all that said, I do feel like, in not checking out those other places, maybe we overdo it. People bring up sometimes, kind of as a joke, do you think the local news has an in with the supermarkets and grocery stores? Sometimes I laugh most of the time. I go, come on. And then other times I go, wonder if this person's on to something. Because what we do, and I've noticed this trend, again, last dozen years especially, do they ever under forecast? It hardly ever feels like we wake up, and this has been very rare if it's ever happened, where they forecast, you know what? Coating to an inch. Yeah, we're going to get a coating to an inch. And you wake up and there's 7 or 8 inches out there. I can't remember that ever happening. What I can remember happening, not necessarily regularly, but more than once, 3 to 4 inches of snow. Oh my gosh, shut the schools. 2-hour delay. No morning kindergarten. All of that. Where's Signal when you need them? All of that kind of stuff. And then you wake up and there's a dusting on the grass. Well, a storm took a different direction, or it didn't anticipate it. It lost its momentum. There's been a lot of times it's been over forecast. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of times where it's under forecast. I'm not somebody who's a conspiracy theorist, but that seems to be rather suspicious. So tomorrow, you know when I'll deal with it? Tomorrow. And I'll get it figured out. And I hope I'll make it in here. 4-wheel drive. And don't hammer the brakes. Just pump them every once in a while. And lower the gear. That's how it works. Anyhow, 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. Going to hear from Mike Tomlin for a little bit before we get out of here. All right, as we do sometimes on Monday, most of the time on Tuesdays, might even do it both this week. Let's hear a little Mike Tomlin post game from yesterday.
You know, not a lot needs to be said, man. That's an awful performance by us. But it's us. We didn't do a lot well tonight, obviously. We didn't possess the ball or maintain ball security on offense. We were highly penalized. We allowed those guys to run the ball. Didn't play 60 minutes of action. Didn't play complimentary football. And so we got to absorb that result. You know, we're certainly not going to feel sorry for ourselves. That's this business we're in. Had some injuries. Pat Queen had a contusion. He wasn't able to run. And so he wasn't allowed to come back into the game. James Pierre was in the concussion protocol. Questions?
Mike, is there anything that you can pinpoint or explain some of the second half issues you've had this season?
Not putting together 60 minutes of action. Certainly, they're tangible things, you know, things that you and I both see, but we better look at it and look at it hard, because it's usually something beneath the surface that's producing that, particularly in the consistency in which is occurring. You know, that third quarter was awful. It was awful last week, and so we got to absorb the responsibility of that.
This is the third time you guys have led at halftime and then allowed another team to win. What do you guys as a coaching staff have to do better when other teams are adjusting to what you guys do?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. We didn't play a good half of football. We turned the ball over. It produced scores. And there's nothing mystical about that. It was really similar to last week.
Offensively, are you avoiding passing over the middle of the field? If not, how to explain so little production there?
It's just not enough production. You know, we're not going to make excuses for it.
Coach, why wasn't a package for Darnell Washington used earlier to start in the fourth quarter? And two, it seems the schematic for Coach Smith is not beyond 10 yards because of the passing. I know I'm a layman, but I'm interested in that.
All of those questions are reasonable given what we put out there. We got a lot of work in front of us.
Issues that were popping up in the run game, do those stem from a lack of physicality, and how do you fix that at this point in the season?
You know, I thought it just, you know, it was, as it wore on, the attrition component of it became a factor. I'm not going to say too much tonight. I'll take a look at the tape, but certainly it was below the line and increasingly so.
How much did Derek Harmon's absence impact you stopping a run?
You know, whenever you're missing people, it's impactful.
Solutions to turn this thing around exist in your building?
Certainly.
What gives you the confidence that they do?
Keep watching.
Coach, only 58 yards rushing today. So what do you have to do to be effective game in and game out with running the ball?
You know, we got to win possession downs. We got to maintain possession of it. We can't turn the ball over. It'll produce more snaps for us. And if we do that, man, we'll probably have more than 58 or whatever it is that you mentioned.
Like, you guys kept your safeties back more to stop the pass, and that worked early. But what did you guys need to do with the guys up front to stop the run from doing that?
We had an appropriate safety allocation relative to the run. We did.
How much was the offense limited by Aaron's wrist?
Does it matter? It doesn't.
We played a number of games where other teams had backups in on the offensive line, and your defensive front hasn't seemed to be able to take advantage of that. Why do you think that is?
You know, good question. I don't have the answer to it. I know that, you know, they weren't in a whole bunch of one-dimensional passing circumstances today, and that's usually where the backup game shows.
Do you look at game plan or personnel changes offensively?
I'm looking at everything.
And also the time of possession. Isn't that critical for your defense to get a little rest in terms of that as well?
That's what I was talking about when I referred to the attrition component of it.
Mike, how do you guys think you counter teams that kind of commit to the run the way the Bills did? It seemed like a lot of the runs you guys were running, you were running it into the teeth of them.
I'm sorry?
How do you guys counter when teams are doing a run, are committing to stop the run the way the Bills did? It seemed like a lot of plays, they were just charging forward.
You know, run it, pass it, man. We just weren't successful enough today, man, to sustain any type of ball control or produce enough points to be functional today, and that's just the reality of it.
Mike, did you have a sense for how restless and frustrated the crowd was today?
I don't know how restless and frustrated I was, and so I assume they were in the same state we were in.
You have a couple of big splash plays against you early in the third quarter, still a lot of game ahead. Do you feel like you weren't able to find an emotional response to that in addition to the on-the-field stuff?
Forget the emotional response, man. We didn't produce plays, you know. We didn't produce enough plays to put the fire out.
All right. Not enough plays to put the fire out. He was then asked about getting booed in his home stadium and said, yeah, okay. I got booed. I sort of understand it because I'm just as mad. What a day. What a day it was yesterday. I never anticipated that, I don't want to say the fans would turn on him, but the fans would give him that kind of reaction. Whew. Let's see where it goes from here. I know where I go from here. Out.